Now, we have our next guest. Marion Courtney is due. She's a retired human resource officer, and she'll be joining us in a minute. And she's due to talk to us about ageism in the workplace and what retirement really means in reality. So we look forward to all these wonderful interviews. In fact, she's already here. So let's just take time to welcome Marion Courtney, who has come on the platform today to talk about her experience of ageism. Ageism, that's what it is. So without a further ado, let's get hold of Marion. Marion, you're welcome to the platform. Marion is a retired human resource officer, and suddenly, brutally, she experienced abrupt retirement with no real preparation. And we want to look at and hear her story and then see what is being done to assist her in this thing. I mean, many of us, I mean, I know I'm near the age, and it's important to understand that what ageism is and what it isn't and what can be done about it. But today we want to hear from Marion Courtney her personal experience. Marion, you're welcome.
Thank you, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for coming to us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, yes. It's just after 12, isn't it?
Yeah, just after 12. You've been extremely patient. Thank you so much. And I heard your story when I attended the launch of the report, Power Aging, Addressing Ageism in the Workplace. This was a report that was launched.
That's right.
And you shared this powerful story, which I said, God, it was too moving. It was so true, so real, because other people are facing that. And so, Marion, tell us what happened to you.
Well, I was forced or obliged to retire on the 30th of June of this year, so it's not even 6 months yet. And the next day, you know, when you retire, and I don't like to use the word retire, but on the next day, you find yourself without your business card, you don't have a phone, and you don't have any deadlines. So it was quite a shock on the next day to find myself retired. Because that's, you know, that's a fact, that's what happened. So you almost lose your identity, and it takes some time to get used to feeling what retired really means. You know, retired because you have to leave work at a certain age. I turned 65. My contract of employment said that I must retire at 65. So, look, I signed the contract myself. I knew what I was coming to, but when it happened, it was quite challenging, really, because I was used to being very busy in my job, used to doing lots of things, making lots of phone calls, attending lots of meetings. So really, from being very active to not having that activity in my life. So I found the first few weeks quite difficult. I did, very fortunate, I did have the opportunity to do a pre-retirement course, but I did my pre-retirement course after I retired. So I think employers can do more really in the last year, or certainly in the last 6 months before coming up to retirement, to ease employees into this. And at least you get a chance to talk to other people about their experience. Because really, it's only when it happens to yourself that you understand what it is. You have to experience it yourself, really, because you can listen to other people's experiences, but when it hits you, you know what you are going through. So that was on the 30th of June. You know, I've kept myself very busy ever since, because I think that we need to rethink retirement. We're not done. We're not finished at 65. It's just a date on your passport, really. So it's about, for me, it has been about rethinking retirement. What do I want to do now with all this free time that I have? And you know, in an age when we are living much longer, I hope to work. I mean, work for the next 10, 15 years, whether that be part-time or full-time. I'm certainly well able to work. And this brings me to the concept of ageism, in the workforce because it's something which is not really being talked about. Because people leave, they retire, they move on. They don't cause a fuss in the workforce. They just move on when they're supposed to retire. So I think it's a certain form of hidden ageism and it does need to be addressed. Now, we do have a code of practice on longer working. I think employers need to be made very much aware of that. And I think that the recruitment companies should also be more aware of this code of practice on enabling people to work for longer than what happens at the moment.
Right. So I just want to take us through your experience again, because a couple of things you said.
Yes.
You said, first of all, you knew it was coming because obviously you were human resource.
Yes, I was the HR manager, VP of the company. So I knew it was coming down the line. But it was only when it happened that I found myself not able, you know, when you're escorted to the door, you hand back your keys, you hand back your mobile phone, you hand back your laptop, and you leave. And then really, I was so busy up to the last moment. And then the next day, I didn't have all of these activities to do. So that's really when it hits most of all. So yes, I think you need to prepare for it. I think employers can do a lot more by helping people who are nearing the age of retirement, 65, to prepare better for retirement and what it might mean, and maybe at least have these pre-retirement courses available to employees at least 1 year before they reach retirement age. Or extend the contract for the employee. You know, most contracts in Ireland still say that you've got to retire at 65. You have access to your state pension at 66. So what do you do between 65 and 66? You're not earning the same salary as you were earning before. I do get a benefit of €208 per week, which is most welcome. But still, I like to supplement that and with doing some part-time work, which I'm doing at the moment.
Right. So most people, when they get to 65, you are forced to retire. There's no other...
No, unfortunately, most contracts in Ireland have a retirement age stated on the contract, which is 65, as mine had. So that really becomes a mandatory requirement in the workforce. Now, a lot of employers could at least change that to 66 to be in line with the state retirement age, which is now 66. Or take it off altogether and let people work until they retire willingly themselves.
Right. I mean, did you have a chat with your workplace? Did they ever consider the fact that this is a person who's been running the
HR?
And she knows all about employment. She's very good at her job because you said you worked right to the last minute when they gave you your key.
Yes,
took their keys and their laptop.
I worked in that position for the last 10 years. Yes, but because I had signed a contract that said that I would retire at 65, I think they were able to use the fact that I had a contractual term and condition. So I didn't oppose that. You know, sometimes it's good to move on as well. I think it's about my own attitude to retirement. After I got over the shock of not being busy, you know, I've had a really good summer. I've had some free time to myself, and actually now doing a lot of volunteer work, and I'm doing some part-time work for an association. So at this moment in time, I'm quite busy because I have rethought about what I want to do, and that I haven't lost any of my skills just because I turned 65 this year. I can still bring value to the workforce. I have a lot of experience, and I plan to work for many more years to come.
But that's not given to you in your current workplace.
No. I've moved on from my past workplace, and I'm now doing part time work.
Right.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned something. You said that they gave you there was a course that you were able to attend after
retirement,
but it should have been before. Can you tell us a bit about that course and what that involved and what kind of information that you received then that you should have received earlier?
Yes. The course was delivered by the Retirement Planning Council of Ireland. I was very lucky to do it on a one day. You know, I did a very fast course within one day. But it just questions, you know, where you want to go in life, who you are as a person, what your hobbies and interests are. It also looks a little bit at your lifestyle, your activities, your exercise. And it's really... It works in two ways, because it talks about your purely technical skills, what value you can offer to a potential employer at this stage of your life, and it also talks about your personal life and your private life and how perhaps you can take up hobbies that you've always wanted to do and never had the time. Like, for example, I took up sailing this summer. I learned how to sail. How it was pretty challenging, but look, I had the time to be on time for the classes and learn the basics of sailing during the course of the summer holidays. Recently, I was able to take part in an age and opportunity course, and that was absolutely excellent, called Changing Gears.
And what does that entail? Do tell.
And that entailed meeting with a group of like-minded women and men in their 50s and 60s every Thursday for 6 weeks with a facilitator from Age and Opportunity. Looking again at, you know, who we are as people, where we come from, look at your past, who you really are, what are your hobbies, where do you want to go, what brings you fulfillment, what about your personal life, what about your eating habits, what about your social habits. So that was over the course of 6 weeks, organised by Age and Opportunity with funding from the HSE, and I found that course really rewarding because it was over a longer period of time. There were 20 other people on the course with me. We've been since meeting up to help and support each other, and I found that gave me a great support network. I happened to see that advertised on Twitter, so I took the advantage of attending that course as well. So I really found that most helpful. Age and Opportunity.
Age and Opportunity.
You probably know them. They're based quite near here. So that was very helpful.
But has it made you feel? I think the thing is that the way you explained just now, that you were given the keys, the laptop were taken, the keys
of course,
were taken,
all those
things were taken away. Do you feel you have more worth now you've been to those courses? Because it seems as if, my God, all what I have done here is just meaningless as soon as I turn 65.
Yes.
And nobody wants to know anymore. Well, you've signed a contractual. We're doing our part. We've done our part after 65. Mm. Go your way. Mm. Whereas you felt there's more to you could have done.
Yes, I could have stayed on if I had really put up a fight. But look, I've learned a lot about myself since. I have, Mary, unretired. I don't use the word I've retired any longer because it's not true. I'm working. I'm doing volunteer work. I am contributing back to society. I'm using my skills and experience. So now I say to people that, look, I have unretired. And people ask me, what does unretired mean? So I think that's my term now. Because you almost lose your identity. You know, I can't say I'm the VP of Human Resources. I'm not that any longer. I have to make my own identity now. So I really, when people ask me, what am I doing? The first thing I say now is, well, I've unretired. And people usually ask, they laugh, well, what does that mean, unretired? Explain that to us. So that's the word I use now, because I don't like the word retire. It means stepping back. It means not taking part. I just don't like the word. So I'm now in my phase of unretirement, which I'm enjoying very much. Because guess what? I'm doing it on my own terms and conditions. I decide who I want to work for, when, how much volunteer work I want to do. So that's what I do. For example, after I finish here this morning, I've taken up the role of chair of L'Arche Ireland and Northern Ireland, and they are based in Balldoyle. So I'm going out to visit the community and meet some of the core members after I leave the studio this morning. So things are working out well. But it's been a good 6 months. I've had to ask myself many questions. I've had to forget about the idea of retirement and the end of that job, because I'm much more than my job. I'm more than my title. And I think it's taken me at least 6 months to realise that and to have the confidence to get back out there again and offer my skills and offer my time as a volunteer and fully participate in society and in a job for at least another 10, 15 years, because that's what I feel I want to do, and I'm enjoying it.
Great. Now,
so it's a positive story, but I do think there is ageism out there in the workforce, I don't think employers need to be aware of it. I know we need to move on to leave space for new talent coming in. But at the same time, I think that it needs to be addressed differently, because all of a sudden someone retires. And I think the company and employers need to be more prepared to do more for their employees who are leaving the workforce.
Especially after they spend much time.
Yes, after you spend a long time in a company, you give them all your skills, you give them all your time, you bring value, and then from one day to the next, you don't do that because you are retired. Anyway, I have unretired. I think it's a lovely word.
It is a lovely word.
And when I mention it, people are very curious to know what does unretirement mean. And I sometimes say, maybe I'm busier than ever, but on my own terms and conditions, doing what I really want to do or what I like to do. For example, this interview this morning, I would not have felt it possible to do an interview like this 6 months ago, because I was just a bit lost when I left my job.
Did it have an impact? Obviously, did it have an impact on your mental health? How would you say?
It made me question who I was as a person. Am I finished? Is this the end? And I'm only 65, and I can do so much, I can give so much, I have a lot of enthusiasm. So it took a while. Yeah, it took me a full summer, which is really not long in the bigger picture, to get back out there again.
Yes,
get involved.
But you know, you attended the DCU Power Aging.
I did. That was a very good conference.
What was it that you learnt in that place that just stirred you? That you know, this is not time for me to give up.
I think what stirred me on that day, well, two things. The first was that I felt it was very theoretical, so I just felt compelled to stand up and say, this is really good information, but it's all theory, so I can give you a practical example because I'm just recently retired. So that was eye-opening for me. And then I think it's very good to have all of that, you know, theory and have that study done. And I know that DCU and Trudy Corrigan and her team will be working more on the area of ageism. I think we need to bring ageism to a bigger audience because it's not spoken about. It's not spoken about in workforces. It's just a subject that's taboo, and it's not very well addressed. So I think employers and Recruitment Federation, for example, they need to be better briefed on ageism. And battling ageism, because it is one of the nine grounds for discrimination, but it's not spoken about.
So do you think you could be the advocate for
I could be an advocate. Look, 6 months ago I wouldn't have thought that I would be sitting this morning in Near FM doing an interview. Mary, when you approached me after the DCU conference, I thought, oh my goodness, what do? I say yes or do I say no? And I just thought, why not? Life is for living, and I have a lot to say about retirement and my own experience, so I can talk about it. And I figured, why not come out here this morning and talk to you about it, at least to bring it more to other attention of others, because I'm not the only one. And I think what hit me most of all, and you said it, I was the HR VP in the company. I knew this was happening, but I wasn't prepared for it, because it only hits you when you hit 65 and you think, oh, I've got to leave the company, I've got to retire. And I'm trying to make life better for all the younger people who are coming behind me, who one day will reach this age as well, and that it should be better for them when they reach that age of 65.
Right, now, I'm going to ask you something. You have the opportunity to speak to your employers, because obviously they will hear that you've been on radio doing this thing. And there are others that are about to retire from that same company that you left. What would you say to your employer they could have done better?
I think you need to prepare for retirement at least 1 year in advance, or maybe even longer. So I would certainly suggest that once an employee turns 60 in the workforce, but most people want to work until 65, let's just start preparing for retirement much earlier than what would be the norm. Now, some companies do prepare their staff earlier, and I think at least 5 years, you need to think about it 5 years out, make a plan. Otherwise, like me, you've got to really fast forward and make a plan very fast when it happens. But 6 months later, I'm very happy with what I'm doing. I'm very happy with what I'm doing, which I wouldn't have known 6 months ago, because I had to take time out. I had to go to courses. I had to plan my time, plan which charity I wanted to give back time to. So it has been work on my behalf as well. It has been work. Find a different identity for myself, because I don't go to the office every day. I don't have the mobile phone. I don't have the laptop. I've bought a new laptop recently. So I'm starting like from scratch again and building this new identity in a very different way.
And do you think your employers understood the effect it had on you, or they were just doing their job, their contractual?
I think they saw it as a contractual clause, and that was the time to leave. And I did. But look, it's very easy in hindsight to say what I could have done better and what I could have done differently. I think you've got to make the best of the situation that you're in and not regret it. It's time to move on. Anyway, I think, and I believe that after 10 years in a company, maybe it was good for me to shake me up and move me on as well, because I've done a lot since June of this year.
It's almost as if 6 months compared to 10 years that you were there is like, but that's all the skills you'd already gained.
Yes,
anyway,
you see, exactly. People who leave companies at 65, they have a huge amount of experience and skills. But sometimes it takes another person, or you go to a course where you have to write down the skills you have, or other people tell you what the skills you have are. So you don't always see it in yourself. That's why courses like Age and Opportunity, the Retirement Planning Council of Ireland course, or attending a conference such as the one on ageism in DCU to see the amount of work that's being done, that's all good. You can learn from that as well.
Now, if you saw a job of another human resource manager, do you feel you can apply for such if they wanted someone in that senior position in another company?
Oh, yes, yes. And I have applied. Unfortunately, I've been told that I don't have enough experience. Now, for one position I applied for recently, and I smiled to myself, and I think that's just saying you're too old for the position. And maybe I'm a little bit sensitive, but to tell me at this stage of my career that I don't have enough experience for the position makes me question my experience. But look, there will be other jobs, and HR is my passion. You know, it's I really enjoy working with other people. There are lots of jobs out there. I probably would prefer to do part-time work, lots of part-time opportunities, if I can find the right person, or the right company that will appreciate that this is an older person coming into the workforce. They're bringing us a lot of skills, and we welcome and embrace them into our company. And I think I need to find the right place as well.
And I think they will
not just go after a job, but go after a job in a right company where they appreciate everyone. And I'm talking across where there are no barriers to age or sex or education or whatever. I think that's important.
So maybe we need to educate it's part of the recommendations, isn't it? I just want to quickly read out the recommendation. We're coming very quickly towards the end. The recommendations made by this wonderful report, Positive Power Aging, Addressing Ageism in the Workplace. And these are I'll just quickly
sure.
read out the recommendation. Promote greater awareness of the legislation which prevents and eliminates ageism, stereotype of aging and ageist attitude in the workplace, which obviously you've
absolutely.
Secondly, accommodate the needs of older workers in recruitment policies, upskilling and training policies in supporting older workers in later stage of their working life. They have a lot to contribute, as you
They do, and that's why I've already spoken with the head of the Recruitment Federation of Ireland to make him aware of the barriers that I faced in the last 6 months.
Right.
That's good. I think it has to come from a very high level.
Fantastic. And then thirdly, support and encourage older workers' work performance, intrinsic motivation and physical and psychological health. And lastly, of the recommendation, promote organisation oneness through mentoring and training program relevant to both older and younger employees in the workplace.
Absolutely, because it's wrong to pit older employees against younger employees. I think that there is space and opportunity for us to work together, because it involves all of us, not just the young or not just the older workers.
Right. Listen, it's wonderful to hear your experience.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you're so positive moving on, and that's going to encourage other people. But I'm also happy that you're taking the bull by the horn and you're addressing people in power, like you've just been saying. Listen, we need to look at this properly. And I think you'll be working with DCU, with Trudy, to give them more,
lived experience. Yes, yes.
So thank you so much for coming to the platform today.
I enjoyed speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Trudy. We really thank her for coming today and just giving us insight. So if you're 60, going on 65, and you know retirement is very close to you, you need to be able to know you need some kind of help and assistance. And there are lots of people out there that will be able to help you. DCU is one of them. And I'm so happy to hear that 6 months down the line, Marion Courtney is making headways. But it didn't have to be like that to start with. Organizations, listen to those recommendations that's read out, and please, let's do something. Thank you, Marion, again for coming here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.